From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting hours after certifying Iran has been complying with a two-year-old international nuclear agreement. The U.S. Tuesday imposed new sanctions on 18 individuals and groups. U.S. spokesperson Heather Nauert said Tehran has violated the spirit of the deal.
Iran remains, and we all know this, one of the most dangerous threats to the United States, not only our interests here around the world, but also to regional stability. And I've got a whole list of things that we can go over here that Iran is responsible for. Their full range of activities extend far beyond the nuclear threat, and I think we are all full aware of that.
She said Tehran's malign behavior includes ballistic missile programs, support of terrorism, backing Syria's leader, hostility toward Israel, cyber attacks, and threats to maritime stability. Middle East Institute scholar Zubair Iqbal said additional sanctions will not only hamper Iran's economy, it will benefit the hardliners.
The more powerful, the ultra-conservatives, get an excuse for continuing to maintain their anti-American and anti-Western attitude. But that will mean is will weaken the new government, which has recently been re-elected.
Iran called the sanctions illegal and announced reprisals. Nobel Peace Laureate Malala Yousafzai visited the Nigerian city Maiduguri Tuesday and nearby internal displaced camps after discussing education with the country's acting president Monday.
I asked the acting president and also the governor of Borno to declare a state of emergency for education. And I think in that there are a few things that are needed. Firstly, to increase the spending on education by 300% and also to make the spending public.
An estimated 10.5 million children in Nigeria currently are not in school. This is VOA News. Venezuela's foreign minister Tuesday said the country is moving forward with plans to elect members of a constituent assembly despite threats of new U.S. sanctions.
Es un acto de soberanía política de la República.
Samuel Moncada said the planned July 30 ballot aimed at rewriting the Constitution is an act of political sovereignty. Nothing and nobody, he said, can stop it. Sunday, the opposition held a referendum opposed to the new assembly in which more than 7 million people took part. Inter-American Dialogue senior fellow Peter Hockham called the timing of the U.S. sanctions threat unfortunate.
I think that this puts the United States in the position of trying to impose itself, and I don't think this is very helpful at this point.
The opposition has called for a general strike on Thursday. A pro-Russian rebel leader in eastern Ukraine Tuesday proposed replacing the current country with a new federal state, an idea rejected by Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko.
We are confident that we reintegrate the Donbas, we reintegrate the Crimea, and we renew sovereignty and territorial integrity, no matter what Russia said.
A Kremlin spokesman said the Russian government wasn't consulted. The declaration appears to cast a shadow over the Minsk peace process, which has so far failed to quell 3 years of fighting. Tensions persist between Muslim worshippers and Israel over the installation of metal detectors and cameras at entrances to the Noble Sanctuary Temple Mount complex in Jerusalem after three Israeli Arabs killed two policemen last week. Mickey Rosenfeld is an Israeli police spokesman.
The security measures in and around the Old City of Jerusalem are continuing in order to make sure that there are no further terrorist attacks that are taking place.
Palestinian protesters clashed again with police during Muslim evening prayers Tuesday. Lebanese Prime Minister Saad al-Hariri Tuesday said the army would carry out an operation along the Syrian border used as a base by militants involved in the Syrian civil war. Amnesty International urged Beirut to be careful of local crowded refugee camps in the barren mountainous region known as Jerad Arsal. The top UN aid chief told Reuters that spiraling violence in Central African Republic could plunge the country into a large-scale humanitarian crisis. Stephen O'Brien pointed to a surge in fighting between rival militia that's uprooted tens of thousands of people since April. The CAR has been plagued by ethnic and sectarian fighting since a Muslim-led coup in 2013. In the Philippines, four members of the Presidential Security Guard were wounded Wednesday in a firefight with Maoist rebels disguised as soldiers at a checkpoint in Mindanao. President Rodrigo Duterte was not in the region. The clash occurred a day after he called on Congress to extend martial law on the island to year's end, where separatist and Marxist rebels have been fighting for autonomy for decades. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.